There is something about tape. There's a reason why people stopped using it as much when digital became an option, and it's also something that some people would argue that we've lost. And I think those are two different things: the sound of it versus what it actually how it actually forces you to work.
The reason why digital really took over, I think, more than anything else, was the economics, because it's one of the things that when we were using tape was always more tracks, more tracks, more tracks. You know, like we had 8 tracks. When I first started working at Don's, this is at Don Zientara's Inner Ear Studios in Washington, he had 8 tracks, and that was it. You know, we had a half-inch 8-track machine, and then we got a 16-track machine, then we got a 24-track machine, and then, you know, when I was engineering for the producer Ted Nicely, we were renting 32-track Mitsubishi digital machines, total monstrosity, and then we were, we were synchronizing 2 Studers to get 48 tracks out of it. And then along comes Pro Tools that had been quietly growing from Sound Tools and getting more and more tracks. They had, Sound Tools was only 2 tracks, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Then there were 16 tracks, and then there were 24 tracks. And then when they started really surpassing the numbers in a small format that required way less maintenance, they started getting these 48, 64, 128 tracks into a machine. It just was economically didn't make any sense if you could deal with the sound. And that was part of the issue.
Yeah, I mean, my memory of that time period, of that transition, is one of the things that people always used to do is complain about how the drummer was never as good as they needed to be for whoever was trying to make the record. And then you had to deal with the psychological part of how do you get someone to play as well as you want them, as you think they need to play, as one battle, or how do you convince the band to fire their drummer, or to use a ringer for a record, all of which are coming from the world of Washington D.C. punk rock that we both grew up with, was a little bit entering the recording community, having that as my sort of growing up background, made that watching people do that or hearing stories about people doing that made me really kind of like, wow, that's so. The thing about Pro Tools and the other programs was that it instantly allowed you to sort of bypass that issue, because you could have a guy who was, as long as they were good enough to kind of keep up with the click track at all, you could, given enough time,
you could
fix
edit
it.
The drums. Yeah, I mean, and that that was, you're right, in the 90s, especially the late 90s, everything started getting on the click. Everything started getting on the grid. But it was an era where everything had to be lined up perfectly. You know, I worked engineering for a few producers, and that was like job number one, is to make everything, the bass and the drums had to be right on the grid. That's so crazy. Now, you know, I think part of... So that kind of does enter into this fascination with tape and the limitations that it gives you and the way that it makes you work, because you do have to, you are just capturing, you're not editing, you're just capturing on tape. So, I mean, you can edit tape, you know.
There are people who are far more tape savvy than I am, which isn't saying much, who have the experience that I really kind of avoided having, I think, for a number of reasons, where they would do these crazy number of edits on tape machines. I don't know if you ever had to do...
No, we Girls Against Boys, we...
30 or 40 tape edits on a song, but...
Yeah, when we recorded with Nick Launay, the producer, and he edited the drums like you would edit drums on Pro Tools.
With a ruler? Did he have a ruler?
I don't think so. I think he did it all, going... It was crazy. It was pretty impressive to watch, but he would like, I like that roll from that take better, and he would just find it, cut it, put it in.
Yeah.
Craziness.
So to me, the idea that someone would rather do that than just dump it into a computer, do some edits, and then maybe dump it back to the tape machine, that always seemed a little bit like, wow. But I never got to the level of skill where I can edit tape that sophisticated a level where I had the confidence to, to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that music in general has moved away from that sound anyway. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's still always going to be pop music and electronic music that relies that works off of a grid. But I think rock music, especially in the past 10 years, has really swung back the other way, where it's just like, we want it to be as crazy and off the grid as possible. And so it's much easier to work off of tape.